Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a serial entrepreneur, Mr. Bharat Sethi. Bharat, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me.
Thank you. Bharat is the CEO and founder of Rage Coffee, and I have with me a cup of Rage Coffee with the caramel flavor in it. And he's a serial entrepreneur. So Bharat, let's talk Rage Coffee. Tell me about your motivation to start this venture.
I started up my first company when I was very young. I was 16 when I started toying with the idea of entrepreneurship. And at 21, I started my first company. And I was very fascinated with internet, right? And this is 2011, right? 2010, 11 is when internet really started to blossom. And, you know, the last decade has obviously been very interesting. But the power of internet was very fascinating. And when I, you know, I've seen people in my family, running businesses of all sizes, of all kinds, the idea of, selling something online and the ability to have such a huge market yourself was very interesting to me at a very young age.
Correct.
When I started, selling online, obviously, the market was wide open. 2011, 12, there was no Amazon in India. There was nobody had taken authority over any particular category or any particular domain. And I was a very young entrepreneur, obviously. It was great to start building, at such a small age, because I saw the rise of internet, e-commerce, the penetration of, the adoption of internet in India up close in the last 10 years. So I started up a company, we were selling art prints, we were selling merchandise of all kinds. It was very powerful because we gave the opportunity to almost about 60,000-70,000 artists, designers to come and sell online. Ran that startup for about 4 years. In a snapshot, started something in the B2B commerce space. Ran that for about 18 months. Rage happened in 2018. By the time I had seen so much, right? I'd seen the 2015-16 boom. I'd seen the 2017 slug. I'd seen all, the entry of Amazon. I'd seen like so much at the macro level and also at the micro level of entrepreneurship, right? Just the hustle, the grind. And so I wanted to, three, four things I wanted to do. I wanted to, kind of build something very large. So that was like the one big theme in my mind, because I wanted to build a 500 crore company in 5-7 years. So I had to disrupt something that was already very large as a market. That was one big idea.
Correct.
The second was I wanted to play on some mega themes like health and wellness, for example. It's a mega trend globally. In the last decade or so, it has kind of become, taken real importance.
Correct.
The other was the under-penetration of grocery online, was very interesting because it is the largest category overall. It had to become large. Maybe sooner or later, it had to. Obviously, COVID kind of accelerated all of that, but that was the big bet. The other was doing something that really, laid at the intersection of my personal passion and a market opportunity, because the first startup I did was purely a passion project. It became very popular. It became into a, really cost-efficient, profitable company, really, a brand that really made sense to a lot of people. The second one was purely out of a market opportunity. I was not very passionate about what I was doing in the B2B e-commerce space. So I wanted to do something that was not just, I would not jump at the first instant of, oh, this is very interesting because I'm passionate about it. So did a lot of research before starting Rage, and Rage happened like because of these three, four things. So this is like in a nutshell what I think.
Amazing. So, when I was reading about you, you also say that you look forward to creating a company that leaps ahead for generations to come. Tell me your perspective on this, and how does a coffee brand fit in?
The idea, you know, with Rage is we are not just a coffee company. In our minds, in the vision that we have, mm-hmm. we are essentially kind of really an innovation, you know, company, a food innovation company. We've chosen coffee and caffeine right now mm-hmm. Because, you know, we really have to kind of zoom out and see the, you know, the picture that we have right now.
Understand.
As an entrepreneur, my goal is to build a brand that stays on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously, you know, Nike has been in sneakers and been shoes, mm-hmm. been apparels. They've not ventured into food, right? Correct. But they're still large. So I think as we go forward, I think there's a lot of opportunity in allied categories of food and food products, especially to do with the vision of the brand. The vision of the brand is, you know, coffee falls second. The primary, the brand is about functionality and deliciousness.
Correct.
So it's a functional product. It's fortified and it's delicious. That's the key theme. And coffee obviously is there. We're kind of innovating the snacking category right now, for example. We're going to launch some snacking products. We're innovating in other sports nutrition products right now.
Okay.
So we're just, we basically all of our innovation is, you know, around this active ingredient called caffeine right now. And we're launching, you know, products that are the first either category leaders or, you know, they kind of disrupt an already existing subcategory.
Very interesting. And tell me, you know, as someone who's done so many startups, what have been some of your challenges as you have scaled up Rage?
Challenges, you know, changed like during the evolution of every company. At every stage, the challenges are very different. And obviously, you would completely agree with this, because when we start out, capital becomes the biggest challenge, right? We have big aspirations, you know, it's like a raw material. Like capital is not the end of it, obviously, but it's the raw material without which you cannot really go out and build anything.
Mm.
You know, it's a means to the end. It's not the end, obviously. But when capital is there, I think talent and, you know, building the right team becomes a challenge. Mm. How do you, especially when I've spent 10 years in making really bad hiring decisions and making really good hiring decisions, I'm always now thinking 10 times about getting to work with someone. Where should my energy go? With whom it should go? So you know, I tend to sometimes take about 60 to 90 days in hiring somebody in the middle management also. So I think there I've seen challenges where we put too much emphasis sometimes on just that perfect match for the candidate and the role. So that happens. Apart from that, I think just overall, you know, India has, you know, we're like the new age entrepreneur, but there are different pieces of India which are still very traditional. For example, manufacturing. You know, when we had to go out and build our product initially, we faced like tremendous challenge in manufacturing. We had to really do jugaad to even roll out our product because there was nothing available that would fit into, you know, the needs that we had. Everybody we went to, it was good in hindsight. It obviously was great because we came as outsiders to this industry and looked at it as outsiders and consumers rather than insiders. Because if we were now, if you ask me, if, you know, if we would be able to do something like a jugaad, we just cannot get our minds to do that. But manufacturing challenges were obviously there initially. In the first couple of months, we really faced challenges. Our go-to market was kept on getting delayed because of it. Beyond that, I feel...
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, beyond that, I feel, you know, it's all... I mean, these challenges also don't look like challenges to me.
Yeah, when you look back, you suddenly realize that, oh, that was an interesting period that you went through.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell me, Bharat, you know, you did mention that one of the things that you look at is deliciousness, as you said. For our viewers and listeners, help us to understand. There are so many brands, you know, one is the decoction coffee. There is, you know, the big brands from a Nescafe to whatever other are there. Then you've got the smaller boutique brands that have now come in. How are you as Rage differentiating yourself?
When we started out, you know, there were these key ideas that we wanted to go after. We, first of all, we wanted to upgrade an average consumer of coffee. We did not want to complicate coffee. Coffee as it is very complicated. But if you go and talk to an average consumer spending 250, 300 rupees on their monthly consumption of coffee, what is it that that consumer needs? Is the market that we wanted to go after. That's one. The second is, we wanted to give that consumer a 5 to 10 times better experience without complicating the idea of coffee to that consumer. That was, I think, a very interesting decision we took, because it's very easy to this roast, that, you know, source. We did not want to do all of that. The third thing was that we really went after the bigger problems in the market. We did not go after the easier problems. Okay, get the ground coffee, package it and sell it. We never wanted to do that. We really went after changing the sourcing, changing the ingredients, changing the entire manufacturing technique of making instant coffee. We went ahead and took some very difficult decisions of, you know, with respect to production, with respect to distribution. So I think we've not focused on the low-hanging fruit in the market. We've really gone out and said our biggest, you know, biggest competitors are going to be the duopolies, you know, the dualistic setup in the market, which is the Levers and the Nestle. We want to compete with them, and we want to take away market share from these, you know, entities. So I think that was something that you very clear from the go ahead. And apart from that, the product in itself was very fundamentally differentiated. We did not create a Me Too product. We went after, you know, launching the world's first plant-based vitamins coffee. It's a big bet. 4 years back when we started working on it, it was a huge bet, because now obviously it's well known, now it works. A black and purple coffee, imagine, right? I spent almost all of my savings in launching a coffee that was black and purple in color, right? That was never done before. So I think what we really... how we really stood out from the market from the day zero was, we said we'll change not just one piece, one part of this puzzle, one piece of this puzzle. We will go ahead and change everything about this, and then, you know, layer it with our packaging and branding and marketing and all of that. So I think that's how we kind of won, won the market.
Yeah. Fascinating. But tell me, you know, from a consumer perspective, are consumers really so discerning that they are able to look at not just multiple flavors, but multiple intensities? I mean, how much of it is actually consumer driven, and how much of it is actually what the coffee company wants to give them?
I think that's where we come in. We you know, we know that the average consumer is caring about two things when they drink their coffee. Simply put, you know, there's a lot of noise around coffee, right?
Correct.
Especially, you know, since it's such a fast-growing market. The two things that this consumer cares about, one is the sensory aspects of coffee, which is the taste and the aroma, right? The other part is the caffeine kick. And that was our big insight when we started, right? That the caffeine kick is very critical to the Gen Z millennial consumer who's spending on coffee, seriously spending on coffee. They care about their coffee. They have an emotional connection with their coffee. Coffee is a commodity at the end of the day, but it's not a commodity for these consumers. It's not like their soap or toothpaste. When they drink their coffee, they are having a moment. And they so we really wanted to give that consumer a caffeine kick, which is not only something distinctive, but something that they want again and again. So our coffee, for example, one of the biggest things that we changed was that we the first product we launched, we had a 90 to 120 mg of caffeine per serving, mm-hmm. which in any instant format, you would not get it more than 20 to 30 in like really low quality products, and about 50 to 60 mg caffeine in some other superior imported products, maybe better techniques to retain the body and the extraction process. So we really wanted to not just solve for the deliciousness and the taste and the flavors and the aroma, but we really went ahead and solved the problem of the caffeine kick. That is where this complex product kind of, you know, this is our understanding, because we know that the consumer who says, oh, I've never tasted something like this,
right,
is not just saying it because it's because of the taste, or it's also because it really competes with the experience of a coffee that you would get in a specialty cafe at $400-$500 maybe.
Very interesting. So, you know, when I was reading about you, I was thinking, and I'm much, much older. I mean, I've just turned 65. When I was growing up, North India was a tea drinking region.
Yeah.
But over the last 8-10 years, it has seems to be transitioning into a coffee drinking community. Even in the southern part of India, it is moving from the decoction coffee to, you know, what we are getting all over the country or all over the world. What is happening to consumer tastes? Is it just the caffeine kick?
I'll tell you what I feel. There might be other opinions about this. What I feel is that when you don't expose somebody to something, mm-hmm. they will never have the right idea about that something. Mm. If you keep serving consumers, pineapple juice, and if they never taste orange juice, they will never know what orange juice is like, and then they would never be able to compare with it.
Correct.
I think what's happened was that throughout, so South India, obviously, because of the farms, it was easy. It was easily available. Mm. And it's also the culture. It's ingrained in the culture there. When you look at the other parts of India, coffee, was always a very inferior product was served to them. Mm. A very inferior product was served throughout the years. Which, in the last maybe 5 years, it has changed a little bit. Mm. But consider our, the other generation, our parents' generation, they were never served the right coffee product. If you're serving something which is dust and powder and has 10 to 20 mg of caffeine, and just to lower the cost you're serving it, then there is very little chance that somebody might appreciate the caffeine or what coffee stands for. Right, there's 1 in 100 people who brew their coffee in North India. Mm. There's maybe 1 in 1,000 actually. I'm just exaggerating 1 in 100. There's very few people who call themselves even coffee aficionados and connoisseurs of coffee. Even these people don't really know what coffee means. Mm. And for us, it was a big opportunity because we could take this consumer on this journey of coffee because they don't know anything about coffee.
Absolutely.
So I think that to me is that the biggest differentiator. Innovation happened. The cafe innovation happened, obviously, with Starbucks coming into India. The adoption of coffee went up. People could differentiate between an espresso and an Americano, suddenly, right? So I think all of those, it was a very, very small market. And that sign of suddenly just blew up and, people were exposed more. And now they can appreciate it.
Very, very interesting. But I've got to tell you my espresso story. 40 years ago, when I first went overseas from ITC to work, I asked for an espresso coffee. And what we get used to get in India in those marriages with that big machine, with that little thing, and then chocolate powder on top. And one they gave me was a tiny little cup with black coffee. And I said, what is this? So that was when I started my education. But what an amazing response you've given to me on coffee so far. Bharat, I'm now going to move to the next segment. And I have time for 3 or 4 questions. our viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So my first question to you, as a coffee aficionado, someone who's working on changing tastes, someone who wants to leave a brand for generations, what are some of the core values you believe in?
With respect to business or with coffee?
Whatever, your call. Tell me about coffee.
I think coffee also as business, maybe. I think one of the most important things to me is honesty. I think I believe that if we're doing something as a business owner, if there's even one person who's consuming our product mm-hmm. and who does not like that product, mm-hmm. I don't want their money. I've not done justice to their spending on the product that they bought from us. Mm-hmm. So I think just being honest and true to what you're doing, it's your business, it's your art, it's your profession. I think that's something that really kind of dedicatedly being honest and true in our business. For me, I think, you know, seeing so much in the last 10 years from an entrepreneurship point of view, I think the only thing that really makes me happy, truly makes me happy, is that one customer email that says this is something exceptional, mm. right? You know, raising money, getting people around me because, you know, like really talented people, it's a high, right? It's great to be doing that. But truly what brings a smile to my face is a consumer who writes this wrong email, and we get that a lot, right? When we started, I think that was the only motivation I had, getting that customer to, you know, to write that email. Like, how many times have we written, you know, like essays about some product? I have never done it. So I've done it maybe, but right, people yeah. really take our time to appreciate the product, right? So I think that really keeps me motivated. You know, in business, I think there's so many ups and downs. I think just to stay humble, stay grounded, and stay true to the art in your profession, I think is very important. I think that's what my core philosophy is now. You know, and maybe it changes in 5 years. I don't know. Absolutely. But it has evolved over Absolutely. The years.
You know, you're so right on customer feedback. I've always said only a customer who cares for your brand takes the trouble to sit down and send feedback, whether it's positive or negative. So yeah. I'm glad you think the same way. I think your customers love you. So my last question to you, Bharat, and this is for the many, many people who listen to our conversation. As an entrepreneur, what would your advice be to a young entrepreneur starting off on her or his journey?
Don't be afraid, don't be scared, don't hesitate to take the tough path, because glory lies in tough decisions. Mm. And the glory of an entrepreneur lies in not feeling that those were tough decisions. It shouldn't feel like these are big challenges to you. This should be something that comes to you very naturally, your gut instinct. But I think apart from all the business gyan that could be there about cash, this, that, you know, that I don't want to do. Mm. But I think just following your gut and following your instinct, taking that tough decision, you know, which seemingly would not look tough to you in a couple of years, is the right thing to do. And there is no right time to start. You know, whenever you feel there is opportunity, you should go ahead and, you know, look at it. I think that's something that very basically, you know, at the very basic level, I can advise, just, you know, follow your instinct, follow your gut, follow your heart. If you really, you know, if your heart really lies in entrepreneurship, then it will not leave you. It will find you at some point in your life.
Wonderful. Bharat, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for telling me, you know, about your journey with Rage Coffee. And as I mentioned to you in the beginning, I am already a convert to your brand Rage Coffee. I ordered my first bottle. Yeah. And I've now said we're going to remove all other bottles except Rage Coffee. So
that's I'm amazing. A convert. That's amazing.
It's a great product. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.